It's Easter Sunday, in case you didn't know. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we welcome you to the celebration of the day that changed everything. The day that changed everything. That's what today is. If this day didn't happen, everything in our life would be totally different. That our way of government, our way of, and sometimes our government's not too good, but anyhow, the foundation of good government is found in the scriptures. And so Christ, he is risen indeed. And it's interesting to hear people have a criticism of Christ and that, well, he didn't really die and things like that. Whenever they put him in the grave, he wasn't really dead. Well, as we'll go through this, we'll find out that any normal person would have been dead from the floggings and the beatings. But Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate not just an event, but we celebrate a victory over death, hell, and the grave. Because he lives, we shall live also. That we have in the first Adam, in the Garden of Eden, what God made man of the dust of the earth, and he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So we live forever, but in Christ we have the forgiveness of our sin and the restoration of what we were to be before sin, before the failure, so that we could spend an eternity with Christ and forgiveness in this life. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the turning point of history. It is the moment where death was defeated, the grave was conquered, and hope burst forth for all mankind. So there is a hope because of Jesus rising from the dead. So the scripture today is in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6. After the Sabbath at dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. The appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him, the Roman guards were so afraid of him, that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are here looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." Now, I'm thinking of in the last couple of years, the shroud has taken on the shroud of Turin, and what it means is the burial cloth of Christ is in Turin, the city of Turin. So it's the shroud of Turin, and whenever maybe 25, 30 years ago, there was a group of scientists that were trying to date the shroud, and they put it as a 14th, 13th century forgery. Because what happened is the cloth was in a fire in a church, and parts of it had become burnt, the edges. And one of the nuns in one of the churches at the time re-put it all back together, and it looks the same, but they took that which the sisters had cut, they cut their sample out of there, and they used that to date the shroud. And of course, it's way off. And so that's when they first came out and said the shroud's a forgery. But now, whenever we have the different technologies and different things to look at this piece of cloth, that the image of a person is in the cloth. Now, seeing Mary and Martha and coming into the tomb, the angel says, "Look here, he is not here, he is risen." And in the burial cloth, in the cloth itself, if this is, and there, for me, what, I'm about 98%, positive that this is the burial cloth of Christ, that the markings on the cloth are markings that they cannot even duplicate today. It would take, the one individual said it would take 3 power plants to produce enough energy to create that mark, but the burst of energy would be so quick that if it was too long, it would just burn up the whole shroud. So, and the thickness of the markings on the linen is about 5/32 of a human hair. So it's like on the fiber that is twisted in to make the cloth itself, there are markings. And also, it's a three-dimensional marking. Because if you look at it, you have it? I got a pointer. That's why I wanted to use this. I'm high tech, you know. If I can get it working. Ah. So anyhow, there we have the image. Oh, there you go. There we go. If you look at it, at the face, we find that you can see the whole dimensions of the face in that it is from the nose, it looks very, the cloth is lying on it. And then when it goes to the cheeks, there is a distance. You can see the distance from the cloth. And so that, they once thought that this was a forgery, but with the instruments that we have today, we're able to see that in the late 1800s, they took a picture of it, and it's a negative. The negative of that he took of the picture and went to develop it, there was he took a picture of the cloth, and when he developed it, it was right there, the face, the body of a person in the shroud. So we find that there is no pigments, there's no stain. It would be impossible to paint the markings that are on the linen, because if you looked at that, you know, very slight part of a human hair, if there were paintings, it would absorb through the linen, absorb through the fiber. But these things are not absorbed through the fiber, they are burnt to the bottom of the fiber. And it's just impossible to recreate. So it's a real human that was in this cloth, and that on the back where the person would have been lying on the slab, we would think, well, that person would have been lying down on that cloth, and it would have made a different impression on the back. Well, if you... In the resurrection, or in this setting, the body became alive, and it was kind of like it wasn't lying flat on pressing down on the fiber. It was just kind of next to it when it happened, and the blood on the cloth. There are two types of it, not two different blood types, but the wounds that Jesus received in the beatings and the scourgings. That blood was more coagulated than the one of the spear going into his side. And that was more liquefied. And so on the shroud, you have those two different types of blood. Then, if you look at it, that if you have a piece of fabric that is stuck on a wound, if you rip that off, you know, sometimes it pulls the scab or pulls the blood. Well, on the shroud, that isn't there. It isn't ripped off. If the person came through it, and the beating that Jesus took, whether this is him or not, that he said there's over 700 wounds. That means his front, his torso, his groin, his legs, his face was even hit with those. Flails. And so he had tremendous blood loss. He said approximately 1/3 of his blood was gone, and that being able to make that trip from the scourging to the Golgotha would have been extremely difficult, and he would have fallen, you know, under the weight of the cross. And on the shroud, on the right shoulder, there are bruises and marks of wood where he would have had or carried his cross. And so, there's just many different things that go with this. One of the There's one guy, he was doing the species of flowers and things that are in the area. He found 50 different pieces of pollen and things that are on the shroud, and they are for the time, they are for Jerusalem and the time, springtime. They found them in the cloth. And that the stones on his feet and his knees, they are stones from the area of Jerusalem in that region. So all of these things point to the crucifixion of Jesus, and we find that we are looking at, it's like the tomb is sealed up, and here we are, can somebody be risen from the dead? And so we look at this, and we, you know, it's like, well, do we have to look in? We have to, like the Mary, we have to be able to look in, and what if they saw this? What if when they looked in, it's like when Peter and John come into the tomb, it says they looked and they believed. What was in that moment of being able to look and believe? Perhaps it was this, the markings of a person, and the cloth was just nothing, no one in it. It was just, poof, his body disappeared. So the angel says, "Come, look." So the tomb is it is a place where we have to, we can't say he didn't die. We know that he died, and he died for the sins of the world, and that because he died, he took upon himself our sin, our failures, and he's there to forgive us. So he is not here. He has risen from the dead, just as he said. See, this is the important notice, is that this is exactly what Jesus said he would do. He said he was going to rise from the dead. And in our life, Jesus has promised us things. I will forgive you, okay? I will never leave you nor forsake you. A living Savior has to be present to make those promises to our life. So I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he is alive and very present in our hearts. There are people who have had visions and dreams of Christ that have changed their life. And much of the evangelism that's going on in the Muslim countries is going on because of these dreams and visions of Jesus. It's a phenomenon that's very much alive in these countries. And so we find that he stated the truths. He stated the truths of who he is and what he was going to do. The stone was not just rolled away from the tomb. The stone is rolled away from our hearts. Because we know the Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit that he is who he says he is. And so sin no longer has an ultimate say over our life. It has been removed, washed by the blood of Christ. So the resurrection is not merely something we remember. The resurrection is something we live. We live the resurrection. Because if I live or die, I belong to God. No matter what happens in life, I am secure in my relationship with Christ. And nothing can separate me from him. So if I die, I'm with heaven. I'm in heaven with him. And to live is to live as Christ, and to be his pastor, his minister to the family of God. And so the risen Christ declares to us who he is. Romans 8:11 says, Romans 8:11, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in us today. The same power that is risen, that raised Christ from the dead, is alive in us. See, a dead Savior can't be there. Only a risen Savior can be alive in your hearts. So the risen Christ declares who he is. The resurrection doesn't just prove that Jesus is alive. It confirms everything he said about himself. All of the teachings and all the scriptures Jesus spoke about himself in the kingdom of God, all those things are as he said they would be, because he has the power to make them happen. He boldly declares in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so there is this understanding of who Christ is. Jesus says he is the only way to God. Well, some feel that Christianity is just too exclusive. You know, you just think that you're the only way. But in reality, they believe Christ is just one of many ways. Well, the many ways, no matter if it's different beliefs, different systems, thank you, different systems, no matter who they are, their leader and their influence, they're not alive. Christ is the only one who is alive, risen from the dead, to authenticate what he has said. So it's like coming down the road, and you come to a fork in the road, and all there's two different ways of looking at life, philosophies of life, how we're going to live our life. On the road to the right, there's just all these dead people with a bunch of ideas of how to live life. And then they're on the other road, there's one road, one way, and he's alive, he's risen from the dead. Now, which one of those are you going to listen to? The dead guy or the alive guy? So we listen to the one who's alive. So John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. He who lives and believes in me shall never die. See, we are made to live forever. Your soul, my soul, is going to live forever. The challenge is, with whom are we going to live? And Christ is saying, I want you to live with me. I will do everything, everything to help you live with me. And so if we rebel against him, we're fighting against his ways. But he is a shepherd who leads his sheep. He is the one, you know, when I was in Israel, we were on the bus. And the guide was talking about how shepherds lead their they never drive their sheep, they lead them. And we saw this shepherd out of the windows of the bus. We said to the guide, he said, what about that guy over there? Well, he said, I never saw that. So he gets out of the bus, literally walks over and talks to the guy, comes back in, he says, well, he's not the shepherd, he's the butcher. Christ leads us into the kingdom of God. New life begins now. So you see, Easter is not just about what happened 2,000 years ago. Because he lives, we didn't sing that song, my daughter loves that. Because he lives, I shall face tomorrow. You have not heard that one? Okay. So, and I am not singing it. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. So you see, it's about being changed from the inside out. We're inside out people. What goes on the inside is to be reflected on the outside. Jesus, he called into question the Pharisees. They were outside people who were rotten on the inside. They wore the expensive robes, and they were a very high class of society, and people had to get out of the way for them when they walked down the street. And Jesus called them a whited sepulcher. That's a very degrading term in that time. Full of dead men's bones. He called them a graveyard. He called them a grave full of dead bones, and that, you know, you have no life in you. And so we find that what Jesus is saying to us, in Christ, we have a new creation. We have a new life. The one who rose from the dead, we saw the person that came through the shroud. We see how he is the one who lives within our hearts. So the resurrection is God's declaration, I am making all things new. See, it's like we begin where we're at. We begin where we're at. Recently, we did our sermon on Peter, and it was a life-changing moment. But there were things that I never really picked up before. So Peter is, you know, Jesus has died. They're on this sea. They're at the Sea of Galilee. He's risen from the dead, and the guys are out fishing, and they can't find anything. They don't catch anything all night. And the guy on the shore says, "Throw the net on the other side of the boat." If you were fishing yesterday and somebody come along and says, throw it over to the left instead of the right, you'll catch fish. What would you do? Well, Peter told, Jesus told the disciples, and they caught more fish than they could hardly drag to shore. Well, the promise of what awaits us, Revelation 21, 1 to 4. This is John speaking. He says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" Everything has become new. So we find that Christ said these things about himself and about what's coming. And the resurrection determines whether we believe it or not. Because if he has risen from the dead, we know that this is true. These events that are foretold in a new heaven and a new earth, no more death, sorrow, or crying, that God will dwell with his people. Well, he dwells within us now, but in this case, he's going to be the center of the city. He's going to be the one that we worship, and it's going to, everything's going to be in order and done correctly. So this is not wishful thinking. This is not this is not a chocolate bunny in a basket. This is a new heaven and a new earth. It's guaranteed. It is a promise sealed by the empty tomb. So we see how important belief in Christ and his resurrection is. So why is this day so important? Why do we celebrate with joy and with songs and with hands and hearts lifted towards Christ or towards heaven? We celebrate because the grave is empty. Because heaven is our home. Because our Savior is alive and living within our hearts. Because he alone is the way to the Father. Because the door to heaven has been opened through Jesus, and we have access to enter by faith and by just asking. Jesus is our living hope. Jesus is our peace that I can face tomorrow. He is the one who calms the fears. He holds the future. So here I am. Looking at, do I believe in the resurrection? Do I believe in the God who holds me? You see, we don't know everything that's going to happen. Doesn't mean we're going to understand all the difficulties, all the pain and the sorrow and the different things that happen in life. But we know whether we live or die, we belong to God. And if we are safe in the hands of our Father, we're safe. You know, I worked in hospice for about 30 years, and I was there with many people who were dying, and if they were afraid of dying, they were afraid of what was coming, I would ask them, I said, "Well, have you ever been to church?" And they would say whether they had or not. I said, "Did you ever take communion?" Or the Catholics call it Eucharist. And so I said, "Do you ever take communion?" And they go, "Well, yeah." I said, "That's the guy I want to talk about." And I say, "You take this communion because he died for your sins. And if you ask him to forgive you, you're going to be in heaven in a short time. You know, I never had one person repeat that prayer that died in pain or sorrow or thrashing around in the bed. Not one. Have had people who told me to get out of the room because they didn't want my spirit. They didn't want my God in their room. And believe me, they died horrible deaths. And the idea is, he is risen from the dead. He is alive and he is present with us. And whether we are walking down the street or we're on our dying bed, God is there with us and we are safe in his hands and his arms, and nothing can ever separate us from Christ. We don't understand everything, but we do trust God for everything. And God is with us. So we are able to walk this and experience this new life with assurance, with promise, and with the unshakable knowledge of eternity, that I do not need to fear eternity. I do not need to fear what's coming tomorrow. I need to know that I am safe today. And as I plan for the future, I ask God for direction. But whatever happens, I am safe. Nothing can separate me. In a place of security, I pray. I don't pray out of fear. I pray out of security and peace, knowing that God has a plan for me. He will never leave me nor forsake me, because I know he has risen from the dead and he is Lord. Amen? That wasn't very loud. Yeah, amen. Yeah. See, the people at home have to hear us. I got an audience like you wouldn't believe. Okay, I lied. So, Easter. We are celebrating the day that changes everything. Think of that. You are here on celebrating the day that changes everything. Everything in human history, from creation till now, this changes everything. And Christ is presenting himself to us. Shall we pray? Jesus, we thank you for hearing our prayers. We thank you that you are alive and you're the one who forgives us. You said if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus, we confess. We are a sinner. Whether in thought, word, or deed, Lord, we have sinned and we ask your forgiveness. But not only that your forgiveness, but Lord, your strength and your wisdom to live life with the assurance that you are with us forever, and our name is written in your book of life. And when the end comes, whether today or 50 years from now, Lord, we are safe in your presence. Always safe, secure. Bless and guide us, we pray. Bless our families. Give us wisdom in all that we do, and we will thank you and praise you for the wonderful Savior you are. You are resurrected from the dead. The tomb is empty. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for being here. And I'll expect you all back next week.